But today we're going to be talking about faith. And more specifically, faith in the Father, and having faith in the Father. First, before we begin, get too much into this, we're going to go ahead and read our proclamation. So if we could put those up, please. And just read along either on the screen or on your, it's the same thing that's on your bookmarks as well. All right, I am a child of God. I've been adopted as a child of God. My Father has made me, sorry about that. In love, He has predestined me to be adopted as His child. My Father knows what I need even before I ask Him. As a father has compassion on his children, so you, Lord, have compassion on me. I'm just going to read it off here. I did not receive a spirit that makes me a slave to fear, but I have received the spirit of sonship, and by him I cry, Abba, Father. The Lord Almighty says to me, I will be a father to you, and you shall be my child. Amen. Amen. So have faith in God. It sounds elementary. Jesus said it, so it must be necessary. We have to have faith in God. In John 1:12, it reads, But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name. And that refers to being born again. Moving further, in Romans 8:15, For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. So how many of you know that as born-again Christians, the Father of Jesus Christ is our Father too? You probably say, well, that's kind of silly. Of course we know that. And it probably is silly, but do we really understand what that means? Basically, Abba means father. It's an Aramaic word for the word father. And it was commonly used in an expression of confidence and trust. Let me ask you another question, though. Do we all have faith in our Heavenly Father? I'm not talking about routine faith, everyday faith that we have. I'm talking about the unshakable, undeniable, rock-solid faith that we need to have in our Father every single day. The kind of faith that no matter what the circumstance that you're facing, it will not be broken. How many can confidently raise their hand about that? It doesn't take much to have faith in the routine things, such as waking up in the morning, getting safely to and from work or school. We kind of almost expect that because we do that every day. We don't really have to think about it too much. But what happens when your back is against the wall? When there is some kind of circumstance that's potentially life-changing and it requires you to step out on the edge of that cliff and say, okay, God, I'm here. I trust you. I know you won't let me fall. Do you take that step, or do you sometimes hesitate? As we read in Matthew 14:26-33, this is the story about Jesus walking on the water that illustrates this pretty good. And to preface it, Jesus, they were together one evening, him and his disciples, and he told them, go out on this boat. He sent them out on this boat, and he sent them out far in the water. The waves were choppy. The water was very rough that evening. And while they were out there, he went up to the mountain and prayed. And he pretty much left them out there all night. Didn't tell them why. And then just before dawn, he decided to go to them. But he didn't get into a boat. He walked on the water to them. The waves were still fierce. The wind was still blowing. The waves were choppy, and it was not a good night to be out on the water. But Jesus walked out to them. And let's read this together in Matthew 14:26-33. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. Then Peter replied, Lord, if it is you, tell me to come out to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But then he saw the wind, and he was afraid. Beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus reached his hand out and caught him. You of little faith, he said. Why did you doubt? God was there for him immediately. And when Peter thought that he had that undeniable faith, as soon as he stepped out into that rough water and realized, uh-oh, I'm not in my safe spot in that boat anymore, he began to sink. But God was there for him. You know, when you think about it, doubting our Heavenly Father is pretty foolish. There's plenty of people down here on earth that are worth doubting. But God is always faithful to us. So we must be faithful to Him. Amen? So what is faith? We read in Hebrews 11:1. Let's read it together. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So that means it's not tangible. We can't touch it. But it's there. And when we have it, it's actually proof to us that God is there for us for all of our needs. Having that unshakable faith. And we must be confident that God will provide all of our needs. Now, depending on the version of the Bible that you read, the word faith is mentioned anywhere between 330 to about 550 times. To me, that must mean it's pretty important. Wouldn't you agree? So how do we get our faith? In Romans 12:3 we read, For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think of, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. We all have the ability to have faith, but sometimes we struggle with the activation or the application of it. It's not always easy. So this can be problematic for us in a couple different ways. Sometimes we think that the obstacle is just too great for us to overcome, and we just give up. We don't even try. We think, there's no way that I can possibly succeed or attain this. So what's the use of even trying? The other way is we're just stubborn. We think that we can do it ourselves. We think we're superheroes, so we try to put on our cape and accomplish it on our own. But inevitably, both of those ways can lead to defeat. And oftentimes they will. But either way, the common denominator here is fear. We fear that the obstacle is too big for us to overcome, or we're afraid that God may not be there for us. But we know our faith comes from God. We just read that. In Romans 12:3 it said, As God has dealt to each one a measure of faith, it comes from God to us. The enemy wants us to fail every single time and in every single situation that we face. Because when we do that, we lose our faith. But the fact is that faith and trust in God will always allow us to conquer our fears. Every single time. Amen? There's going to be rough waters. It's not going to be an easy walk at times. But keeping that unshakable faith in God will always bring us to victory over the enemy. Amen? All right, now we are going to use the paper and pencils that I gave to you. So get those ready. But before we do that, let's read in Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Just as James mentioned earlier. Yoke is easy and the burden is light when you put your faith and trust in God for everything. Amen. All right, I have a couple of backpacks here on the floor. And I'm going to need a couple of volunteers here in a minute for this, or maybe a couple of people who will be voluntold. I'll pick you. But I've got my paper up here, and I've actually got a few different sheets. I've got more than one. I'm going to write down several things that can be pretty substantial fears in somebody's life. For example, the first one, say it's a loss of a job. That's a big deal to most people. It's not something that's necessarily an easy or quick fix all the time. So that's a big one. Another one might be if you're a student and you have to pass that final in order to graduate, because if you don't, you don't get that diploma. So that's a big deal. That's a big stress for a lot of students. All right. Another one, finances. That's a big one for a lot of people. Having faith that your finances are always going to be in order. One that we've already talked about so far in this message, fear of failure. That's a big one for everybody. At some point in our lives, we're all going to face that fear of failure. We don't want to fail. It's something that just, we're not made that way. So that's a big one there. And I'll do one more. Not seeing instant results. How many people ask for something, they want it right now? We have little patience when it comes to certain things. It's a big deal for a lot of people. It causes anxiety. They want to see those results right now. All right, so that's five things. With these two bags down here, we're going to place some of these in those bags. And for my volunteers, can I have Patty? Thank you. I'd love it when people volunteer like that. That's awesome. That's all right. It's okay. Just leave it there. That one's going to be yours. Go ahead and put it in there. It's all right. I got it. All right. Another volunteer. Let's have Gabe. You're getting four. Go ahead and take that bag there. Well, you can put it down. We'll take it in a minute. All right. What I'd like for each of you to do, one at a time. Patty, you'll be first. Go ahead and pick up your bag. Carry it over here to the cross. The paper that you placed in that bag, go ahead and take it out for me. And just lay it down at the cross. So the trip there and the trip back are fairly similar as far as your weight and your burden, right? You had basically one fear. It's probably a big deal, but it wasn't overwhelming to the point where you felt like you had it coming from all directions, right? Okay, so go ahead on back. Now Gabe's a little different story. He had four. He's going to lift his bag up, and he's going to carry it to the cross as well. All right, go ahead and lay them down. All right, so what's the point of that? They both had fears. For Patty, it was fairly simple. She took hers to the cross, laid it down, and she was able to move on with her life because she knows that God's got her back. With Gabe, he had fears as well. He did the exact same process. But his journey to get there was a little bit more difficult because he had a lot on his back. They both get the same results because they both have faith in God and he's going to deliver their needs. But who do you think out of the two after everything is all said and done, is going to have that absolute, unshakable faith that God's got their back. Patty knows. She's faithful. But Gabe had a lot more to get rid of, and God took care of every single one of them. So coming away from that, chances are Gabe's going to feel pretty good about himself because he was able to let all that go and give it to God. Amen? All right, you can go back. Thank you. I'll give him a hand. All right, so now it's your job. The paper and pencil that you have, at least one fear of yours that you have, that's a big deal of yours, that you've had trouble shaking. And it can be more than one. You write whatever you want. But what we're going to do is we're going to write that on that piece of paper. And then after you're done, actually we're going to play some music here in a second. After you're done, just feel free to walk up on your own, and we're going to lay them at the cross. Okay? And as you return to your seats, feel that weight of those burdens lifted off your shoulders. Amen? All right, let's reach out our hands. We're going to activate that. Lord God, we thank you for giving us our faith. We thank you that we are your children, that you've adopted us, Lord, and we are yours. And whatever fears that we've cast upon you today, Lord, we leave them at the cross. And we pray that you keep your promise, like we know you will, to release those fears and those burdens from our lives, Lord. Your yoke is easy and your burden is light. We receive that today, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody feel a little bit lighter? I hope so. If you don't right now, the time will come. Sometimes it takes a little bit. Sometimes you haven't completely walked through what you need to walk through and what God is putting there for you. But the time will come. All you've got to do is have that faith. He's faithful to us. We must be faithful to him. Amen. Matthew 6:8. Let's read that together. For your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. He knows exactly what we need. We think we've got it figured out. We think that we've got this plan for our lives. Sometimes we plan out our week. It's Sunday. We're getting ready to go into a new week here. We might have some things that we do routinely. We might have some things that are going to come up that we know are waiting for us that we're planning for. But as always happens, there's going to be things that happen that you didn't plan for. And it's in those times that that faith needs to be strong. Now, this doesn't mean that he's simply going to give us everything that we ask for. It's what we need, not necessarily what we want. There's a big difference there. Sometimes we get the two confused, or we try to put them together. They're completely different things. And one of the biggest areas we sometimes have is with our faith. We want certain things, but those certain things are often maybe not good for us, either spiritually, emotionally, mentally, or physically. And sometimes it's a combination of all of that. It's just plain not good for us at all. So we need to know the difference between our wants and our needs. And when we're praying to God, we don't need to be praying that he's going to give us the money to go out and buy a new truck or new fishing gear. It'd be nice, but what do we need? What do we need in our lives that we can't just go out and do on our own? Or we might have a lot of difficulty doing it on our own. If we just ask God, when it's his time, he'll give it to us. Amen. I don't like to use too many personal examples when I speak, but in this particular case, it really fits the message because it's something that I've been dealing with for quite a number of years, and it's with my job. As a lot of you know already, a couple weeks ago, I stepped away from law enforcement. And it wasn't an easy decision. But it's something that I've been looking at doing for quite a few years. When I first started my career, I was a police officer for almost 20 years for a few different departments. And when I started my career, the first 8 to 10 years, I didn't think that I'd ever want to do anything else. It was exciting, all the different chases I got into, all the different calls that I went to. I mean, the stuff you see on TV, it wasn't exactly like that, but some of it was a lot like that. It was a great job. And not just because of that, but because of the opportunity that I was given to help other people. There were several times when I'd go to a call, and maybe it was a call that I'd been to 50 other times before, and I figured, okay, well, here we go again. It's probably going to be the same result. But at some point during that time when I was interacting with those people, something changed that helped them deal with their situation. And that wasn't just me. I know it was God working through me. When I was a kid, I had always dreamed about being a police officer, but it wasn't something I was necessarily wanting to do. But a lot of kids do that. They want to be police officers, firefighters, professional athletes, things like that. Things that they see, they just, the excitement captivates them. So when I got into it, I realized it was a great job. And like I said, the first half of my career, I really felt that way. And then some things started to change between the department, society, obviously. A lot of things changed, and I allowed it to change my views on what I did for a living. And it became a job. It wasn't a career, and it wasn't something I was really excited for anymore. So I started to think, okay, well, maybe if I change my location. I've always wanted to live by the beach. My sister lives down in Charleston, South Carolina. I went and visited her, and I fell in love with the place. So I decided to put an application in at the police department there. I got hired. I thought, wow, this is awesome. I was so excited when I got the call that I was going to be hired. I couldn't believe that I was going to be living in a place like that. Never thought I would. So I went. After a while, I realized, okay, it's still the same job though. I'm still dealing with a lot of the same pressures and the same problems that I had before. I switched to a different department while I was there, and things were good again. I was doing something that I really loved. I was in crime scene investigation. It was a great job, but the money wasn't there. And I was starting to struggle financially. And I started to lose a little bit of that faith. So we made the decision to come back here. I knew I could get hired with the sheriff's department and decided, okay, it's better money, benefits are okay, but it's a little bit more stability for my family. And it was really all I knew. I'd looked at possibilities of going other places, doing other things, but I didn't have necessarily either the education for it or the experience. There was always something that seemed to be standing in the way. So I chose the path that I was familiar with. The first few months were pretty decent, but the schedule started to get to me. We worked 12-hour shifts. And driving around in a car for 12 hours for the past 3 years has taken a toll. My health, for one. My back started hurting. My knees started hurting. Problems that I'd never dealt with before, not just because I was getting older, but because I knew where I was at, what I was doing, it was not benefiting me. It was not helping me. It was hurting me. Plus, my attitude still, it wasn't the greatest. I was still allowing other things to kind of get me down. But through all this time, I still did keep the faith that eventually, at some point, something would change, whether that would be after I stayed long enough for retirement or if something else was able to come along. So, take us back to a couple weeks ago. I, out of the blue, had talked to a friend of mine that I hadn't seen for a few weeks, or actually a little longer than that. And he called me up, and he had just recently taken a job with a company in Wakarusa. And he said, hey, I've got a possible job opening that's available that I think you might enjoy if it's something you think you would like. So he started telling me about it. And it's not a glamorous job. It's kind of grunt work. But I started to think about it, And he started to tell me about the pay and the benefits and the schedule. And everything that he said in those few minutes matched up exactly with what I'd been hoping for years. So I told him, I said, okay, well, it sounds pretty good to me. Let your supervisor know I'm interested. And he said he would talk to him the next day. It wasn't even 30 minutes later, I got a call back. I said, hey, they want you to come in tomorrow and talk to them. Okay. So I go in, talk to the supervisor. He takes me to meet the rest of the group that I'd be working with and takes me on a tour of the plant, introduces me to a lot of different people. Everybody I met had a smile on their face. Everybody I met greeted me and looked genuinely happy to meet me. It felt good. I hadn't felt that in a long time. And then as they started talking about all the other things as far as the pay and the benefits and then eventually the schedule, my team leader at the time that I was meeting with them told me, once we get caught back up on production, it's not a far stretch for us to be out of here by noon every day of the week. I thought it was too good to be true. There's no way. And on top of that, he said, oh, by the way, you're still going to get paid your full pay. Just because we leave after 6 hours doesn't mean you're getting shorted a couple hours every day. You're going to get your full pay plus your bonus. And then they showed me the breakdown of the pay sheet. And it's way more money than I've ever made in law enforcement. So, I said, okay, I need to go home and talk to my wife and make sure it's something that she's in agreement with, and I need to make sure it's something that God's okay with. But I already knew before I left, this was God giving me this opportunity. He knew that I had waited long enough and that I was faithful that something would eventually come along. And the crazy thing about it was something that I never even had thought about. I never thought that I would go into that specific job. But I've been there for 2 weeks. I've lost some weight. I feel, grab me a little sore, but I feel amazing. And what's more is my attitude, and Vanessa can tell you this, the second I walked home from that day knowing that I had that job, I had a different look on my face.
Yeah.
Now, I don't discount my time in law enforcement. I appreciate it. I cherish those times that I was able to help people and that I was able to do good things and get people out of situations or take bad people away from those situations and remove them from people's lives. It will always stick with me, and it's always going to be something that I cherish. But I know that this is a different time in my life, and I know that this is God's plan for me. And even if it's not something that I had planned for myself, I'm trusting in Him, and I'm already seeing the benefits. Amen? I don't even need these 3 pages of notes. I can talk about that stuff forever, probably, but in closing, though, the biggest fear or the biggest stopper of faith is fear. When Peter stepped out onto the water and he allowed the fear to overtake him, he began to sink. But God has given us the faith that we need to invest in Him. He's given it to us. All we have to do is accept it and receive it and then apply it. Amen? Let's read Romans 10:17 together. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that means that every time that you hear the word of God being spoken or taught, it's God giving us that faith to invest in Him. It's like recharging our faith batteries, so to speak. All we got to do is plug in. And by you being here today, it's not because of me. It's not because of the building or anything like that. It's because of your faith coming today to hear the word of God and to be in His presence, in His house. That's recharging those batteries. And when we meet again next week, That's another opportunity. When we meet tonight, it's another opportunity for you to plug in and get that faith. Amen? And as he reassures us in Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for that faith, that unshakable, undeniable faith. We pray that we would always be willing to accept it and receive it and apply it in every situation. We don't need to fight our battles on our own, Lord, because you are the warrior who's standing in our corner for every single one of them. And you are going to conquer the enemy every single time. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your guidance and strength, Lord. And we thank you for that gift of faith.
God's a good, good Father. We thank him for his presence in our life. You know, as he was reading the scriptures about Peter doubting and having fear when the storm started raging around him, I'm so glad Jesus still caught him. Amen? Which spoke volumes to me that even when I have doubt, even when I'm afraid, the Lord is still there. His promises are still true, and he's reaching out his hand to us. He's a good Father. He's not going to let us fall. He's not going to let us fail. He's always there. We're just not always aware of his presence. So we pray for that awareness today as we close Good, Good Father.